let's start from Halacha Yud Zayin. Halacha, I should go smiling early, right? Everyone is smiling when I say say by the bell, huh?
That's all right.
And you still come. It's so painful, and you still come. The koyach of the wife, right? It's the koyach of the wife. It's the power of the wife. Throws you out of the house. Wow.
Such a positive outlook about marriage.
Halacha Yud Zayin. Okay, v'im huvu b'shvil Yisrael aser loy luvnei beisay ad motzay Shabbos. Continuing in the theme we learned yesterday, if a non-Jew brings for you fish or brings for you anything, any item outside the tchum, he brings it from outside the tchum, it is aser for you and for your children ad motzay Shabbos. He brings it outside the tchum. And the question now is, what about the main thing that we're discussing here is, b'chdei sheyasu. Do you have to wait the amount of time it takes you to do this? So he wants to say a chiddush. V'yesh, oimim, d'tzorch l'hamdim gamkein b'motzei Shabbos, b'chdei sheyasu. That you have to wait the amount of time, b'chdei sheyasu, even though the issue here is tchum. In other words, I mentioned this yesterday, there are two different gedarim in Hilcha Shabbos. The lamed tes melachos zechiv kares is a severe violation of halacha for a person to mechal Shabbos by being over in one of the lamed tes melachos, which includes cooking, which includes making a fire, which includes taking fruit off a tree or detaching tvua from the ground. So that's a melacha deraisa. And what kind of deraisa is it? If a Jew were to do this b'mezit with hasra, he would be chayiv misa.
Isn't making a fire only a lav?
No. Havara lav yotzes. We don't pass it like that. We pass in havara is a chiv kars. Chiv kars. The Gemara is the kash. Why does the pasuk specify, single out, lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvo seichem, and it does not tell us don't do binyan, don't do katsira, how come? So the Gemara is two answers. One answer is because lechalik, if a person does all of the lamed tes melachos, he's chayav 39, does 39 sins, 39 b'shoigeg, 39 korbanos. If he did it b'mezid, he gets killed 39 times. 39 counts, guilty of, how do you get killed 39 times? In Shemaim, he's got problems. Okay, in this world, you only get once.
Bilam was killed four times.
Oh, you're right. Bilam four in one shot. Dalad mitzvahs bezin, he got in one shot. Okay, so what does that mean?
He got partially each one.
How do you do it all for one shot? Right, once
he didn't die.
Like a kid getting vaccination.
How long does that mean? You're right. From that Gemara, they're dug that it takes time to die. After his head is chopped off, it still takes a couple of seconds until he sees neshama, because his head was chopped off, and then he's first getting ish, he's first nisha. What? Yeah. I thought it was a child, and then his body fell down. They threw down the whole body.
And then
they chopped out.
Then was chenek.
I thought the first was chenek. They hung him up.
They hung him up.
I thought that they chopped his head off.
Then they chopped his head off.
And then the body fell. That's skila. The skila, and then fell into the fire. As I thought, it was Rashi. The top Rashi. I don't know. So now over here. Now here's the issue. The person does the lamed tes melachos is chayiv misa. If he does it b'shoyeg, he's chayiv karban chatas. But what about if a person carries something from outside the tchum? You carry more. The person you carry outside the tchum. We're carrying walk. The person walks outside the tchum. This is also a chiyuv de'oraisa, but there's no chiyuv misa. There's no chiyuv kares. There's no chiyuv karban. It's a loisase. If a person walks more than tchum, he's chayiv malkois. What's the tchum de'oraisa? So most say it's yud beis mil. Yud Beis Mil is somewhere between 8 to 10 miles, approximately. So if you walk more than 8 to 10 miles outside of a makom of Yeshuv, a place from the last place where you have a residence, and you walk on Shabbos approximately 8 miles, this, no carrying, just walking approximately 8 miles, that's a lot to walk on Shabbos. Okay, 8 miles, quite a bit. That brings a person is a chayv a loisase. So let us say the non-Jew, you tell the non-Jew, do this for me. You call up the non-Jew and you say, come bring it to me. Come bring me something. The guy can carry you. So the guy is the non-Jew is bringing something from outside of the tchum. So if I tell a guy to do it for me before Shabbos, or the guy on his own does it for me on Shabbos, the guy has done an Isser Daraisa, has done a Mirul Akam, has done something for violated Mechal Shabbos on behalf of a Jew. But the degree of violation is less relative to doing the Lam Mites Melachas. Because if the Jew were to do this, he would not be put to death. He would not be chayav karban chatos. He would not be chayav skila. He would only get malchus. So maybe we can suggest that since amirul yakum in general is only a loisase, is only an isur derabanan, minatayra, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. The prohibition to ask a non-Jew to malacha for you on Shabbos is an isur midirabanan. So if I'm only telling the guy to do a malacha for me, which is only a loisase, it's not misa. So maybe it's not so bad. Now it's awesome. It's awesome. But what will be a nafkamina? The nafkamina will be when Shabbos is over, how long do you have to wait to derive benefit from what the guy did for you on Shabbos? So we can suggest if it's a malacha with a zechi of misa, a chi of karis, a chi of karban, then you have to wait b'chdei shayasu, the amount of time it would take the non-Jew to do this malacha. But if the malacha is only a loisaseh, only so therefore the fact that it's only us with the Rabbanon to ask a guy to do a malacha for you, and the malacha that he has done is not a malacha with zechi of misa, zechi of loisaseh, so you now derive benefit on Shabbos, but maybe you don't have to be so machner to wait when Shabbos is over b'chdei sheyasu. If it took the guy 3 hours, that's not fair. It took the guy 5 hours to walk to bring it. Maybe you should have to wait 5 hours before you can derive benefit, or maybe not. Maybe it's only a lois. I say you do not need to wait b'chdei sheyasu. So that's what he wants to suggest of his v'yeshem. Someone has said that tzorch lahamdim gam came from b'moyt hashamis b'chdei sheyasu. Some are very machmir. The bottom line is chil Shabbos is chil Shabbos. Don't go look at punishments. Punishments misa lois. I say it's usher. Aser is aser. This b'chdei sheyasu. You have to wait until Shabbos is over.
But usually, when the rabbanim decrees something to be, you're not allowed to do that, they have a rationale. Why? Why would they say that you can't ask?
The rabbanim didn't reduce this. This is the Torah's halacha. This is from the Torah. Their drashas that it's the will of the Torah that for 39 acts of labor there is a chiyuv misa. And for this particular act, this action of going outside the tchum, there is no misa. There is a loisase, malchus. That's it. That's a minat Torah.
The question is, why can't you ask a guy to do it? Why did the rabbanim decree that you can't?
Oh, so that we learn in the Hakdama to this whole discussion. There are two reasons: shlichus and the daber davar. Guy is your agent. Shluchai shel adam kimoisai. When a guy does it for me, it's like I was Mechal Shabbos. That's one reason why
that's a rabbinical decree.
Rabbinical decree. In the Torah, there's no shtichus by a guy. By the Torah, a non-Jew cannot be your agent. It does not exist such a concept. But it's a takana de Rabbanon. There is obviously a degree of agency with regard to a non-Jew. If I tell the guy to turn on the fire, it's as if I turned on the fire. He is my agent. The second reason is speech. If I tell a guy to be Mechal Shabbos, my speech, there's a pasuk in, I think, with Yeshaya, I don't remember the pasuk is in Yeshaya, mimotzei chefzecha v'daber davar. That on Shabbos, your speech is a requirement, that your speech on Shabbos is different than your speech during the week. If I tell a guy to be Mechal Shabbos, that is the ultimate violation of not guard of that my speech on Shabbos is different than my speech during the week. You can talk politics all you want.
Your speech is almost as if you did the deed.
That's the first approach. The first approach is agency.
Right.
Agency. So it's as if I did a manish. I actually did it. If the guy does it for me, it's as if I did it. Just as it comes to a mitzvah. If I appoint you to do the mitzvah for me, and there are many mitzvahs where it's attributed to me. I give you money to give tzedakah, and you give the tzedakah to someone. Who gets the credit for the mitzvah? Me or you? Me. I'm giving you money. Here's $1,000. I want you to distribute the $1,000 to needy people. Who in Shemayim gets credit for giving $1,000 of tzedakah? Me. I gave you the $1,000. That's my money. Who gave the money? Who distributed the money to the poor people? You. Yeah, you're my agent. You're my agent. So the agent, his actions are attributed to me. I fulfill the mitzvah min haTorah to give tzedakah. My agent did the action of distributing the money, but the credit of the fulfillment of the mitzvah goes to me. Now the agent did a mitzvah because he helped me, but he didn't do the he helped me gesundheit, but he did not give the money. It's not his money; it's my money. So when it comes to a non-Jew, it's the same thing. If the non-Jew turns on the fire for me, whether I tell him or not, it's as if I turned on the fire.
You didn't do it in
Malacha. Oh!
You didn't do it in
Malacha. That's a takana derabanan. Inochinami. That's why it's only also midirabanan. It doesn't matter. The fact is, fire Shabbos has been violated. The fire has been ignited. For me, for a Jew, did I physically do it? No. Did my agent do it? Yes. Is there such a concept in Torah called agency? Yes. That's undeniable. So therefore, the Rabbanan said, even though min haTorah, you're right, I didn't turn on the fire. If you take a little vinestra, do I get credit for it? Sometimes agency does not work. If you put on tefillin, do I get credit? Here, I don't want to put on tefillin today. So you put on tefillin twice. The first time for you, and the second time for me.
No.
Do I get credit for the mitzvah of tefillin?
No.
Nonsense, right? So really, when it comes to igniting a fire, it's the setting like tefillin. It really is the setting like tefillin. You go put on the fire for me, do I get credit for putting on the fire? Of course not. Right? Like tefillin, you can put on tefillin for me, so if you light the fire, but midrabanan, they stepped in order to strengthen the laws of Shabbos, and they said, yeah, you get credit. You get credit at least on a rabbinic level. On a rabbinic level, you put on the fire, it's as if I put on the fire. That's their takon. It's midrabanan. It's only a shavus. Okay, and the second reason, which is reviewing over here, the second reason is that your speech. If I tell a non-Jew, please turn on the fire, the Torah says on Shabbos your speech has to be different than their speech during the week.
You're telling him.
Yeah, let's say you deliberately tell them, turn on the fire. So this is now, you say, am I allowed to talk politics on Shabbos? The whole week I took politics, and on Shabbos I took politics. So many will say, that's right. On Shabbos you should not talk politics. You should talk Divrei Torah. You should talk about the Divrei Torah. You should not talk politics. Not everyone is on that madrega.
You're saying it's dark in here. You don't tell them, turn on the... That'll
be an afkinina. Okay, we'll come back to when we review. We'll come back to Let's just first get this principle over here, the principle. On Shabbos, are you allowed to talk politics? The whole week I took politics. What? Are you allowed Shabbos? So Einochinami, on a person on a very exalted spiritual level, you're able to hold yourself back and not talk politics. During the week, Lashon Hara on Shabbos, you shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. It should be different. Not everyone is on that madrega. So, but how then do you fulfill at least the bare bones of the Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Daber Dover? The answer is, what is critical is, don't talk about doing melacha d'oraisa. The way you fulfill this requirement that your speech on Shabbos should be different than your speech during the week is, don't tell a non-Jew to turn on the fire.
But if you tell him on Friday for Shabbos.
But on Shabbos, very good. But if you tell him on Shabbos, look at the principle, you tell him on Shabbos, turn on the fire. This is the bare bones, the core. Because turning on a fire is a violation of the Lama Tes Melachos. So the very, very least of what not everyone is in a madrega not to talk politics. Not everyone is in a madrega not to go talk about I don't know, whatever, sports. Not everyone. How many Dodgers fans are there? Not everyone is on the madrega, these things. So Chazal did not hold you responsible. They said in Hanami, every person is different. But there's a certain baseline everyone must keep. And that is, there are 39 categories of labor. You are not allowed to instruct a non-Jew to do that melacha. By giving him instructions, that is the ultimate violation of Vidaber Dover. So now, there are nafkin minas between these two. I gave you two reasons. There are more reasons. Okay, these are the two primary, but there are even more reasons. I don't even remember now. There are two more reasons. There are more reasons. Now, what will be nafkin? Let's say you tell them before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, tomorrow Shabbos, you make sure you're here. I'm giving you a list what to do in case you forget. This is what you can do for me on Shabbos. Is there a violation of Dabar Dovar? No. I didn't say one word on Shabbos. Is he acting as my agent? Certainly is. He certainly is. I told him to do it before Shabbos, and he's doing it for me on Shabbos. Doesn't depend on what I tell him, when I don't speak to him on Shabbos. He's doing these acts of labor for me on Shabbos, even though I did not instruct him. I told him to do this Erev Shabbos, so he did this on his own. So there's still agency. Let's say on Shabbos. So the nafkamina is the other way. I don't remember. I didn't prepare this. The other nafkamina is the other way around. These are the two principles. And every situation, there are many different nafkaminas. I don't remember what they are between these two different examples. And what becomes lenient is that if you have a situation where you only have one of the two reasons, like in your example, you told them before Shabbos, that definitely enhances the situation where you can be lenient in a time of need. In a time of need.
But he's still doing the malacha for you.
That's right. That's a problem.
Even if you tell him an error.
That's right. He's your agent. Exactly. Agency is still there. But at least you have avoided the problem of the daber dover. You're not out of the woods yet. It's still forbidden. And we're learning. But when you only have one of the two, you already are opening up avenues in the halacha where when you want to combine this with another pressing need, you can be lenient. In the poskim, you see, there are rules of psak halacha. I never study these things, and this thing, the only way you understand this is they go for shimush. You see, people are very fortunate. They go Rav Herschel Schachter, he goes to the OU, they sit with him the whole day. He goes in once a week he goes in, I think.
Once
or twice a week, he sits there the whole day. The whole day in the morning, Ashmer Sabaiker until late at night, and all of the RMs, the rabbinical coordinators of the OU, they collect all of their problems, about kashrus, that their personal problems also. The personal life problems. Right, Rybelski, the same thing. And they come. So the students, Rybelski went in twice. Rybelski in the last years went twice a week. They were so busy, they had so many problems. People, these are the problems. They come into the office and not just about kashrus. Once they're ready, they come. Arbelsky, see, oh yeah, Shai Yabelsky was here Monday, Thursday. So come, Arbelsky, see, you'll be able to talk to him about your. They end up talking about all different types of problems. And the students, his told me, I never was like this. I was in the shir for a short time. I never even weird. I don't think in my day when I went, people went with him at that point. I think later they started going with him, but maybe they did. Doesn't seem they went. I don't know. But. You know, it's amazing. It's an experience like, that's what they say, like none other. And you learn the rules of Piskei Halacha. And the rules of Piskei Halacha are all built upon what's called a sniff. You know what a sniff is? Not the Kleenex tissues. A sniff is a branch. It means it's osser. Oh, but there's already an opening. It's an opening this, because you did not... you did not tell him on Shabbos. It's a loophole. Not really a loophole. On Shabbos, did you tell the guy to do the mloch on Shabbos? No. You instructed him before Shabbos. So it's still also. Oh, but there's another problem. It's a hefset. It's a loss. We're dealing over here with a loss of money. A loss of money. Oh, a loss of money is not by itself...
big loss.
Sufficient. So if it's a big loss, that might be enough. A big loss, you can outright, but it's a small loss. So can you say that in this situation, when you combine a small loss, which in and of itself is not sufficient, together with the fact that I'm only in violation of one of the two principles of Amir Liakum, I told him before Shabbos, so when you combine two different things, which each one by itself would not be strong enough, but maybe together, maybe it would be enough of a reason to be lenient. Now, I'm not telling you the halacha is, because I don't know the halacha in this case, because every case is different, but you see this, when you go through Shalos and Tshuva Svarim, this is always the approach. This is always the typical approach of the Poiske, the Gedolei HaPoiskin, is where, if you're coming to ask a Shaila, obviously it's not simple. Okay, a simple Shaila, you would not come and take the time of a Gadol. it's usur. But in this situation, there are mitigating factors. Each one by itself is not enough. But when you combine multiple factors, then that is the discretion of a gadol, a very, very person who's very knowledgeable, understands the big picture. Okay, how many yechidim you have in generation that have such breadth, depth to understand the sugya, to be able to understand that when you can combine mitigating different reasons, the situations where you have different things together, it's called the sniff. You bring together different leniencies. Each one by itself would not be sufficient.
Health reasons, right?
Right. Well, right. So it depends.
Let's go out on Shabbos. Perfect example. You can't do anything. You can't.
Every situation is different, but that is the rule. So that is the rules of Psa.
Rabbi Heterman.
What?
Rabbi Heterman.
Who?
Heterman.
Heterman. Okay. Let's now go further in this halacha. So here we're discussing this principle, this very important principle that if the non-Jew brings for you michutz litchum, you would be inclined to say it's not so bad to bring michutz litchum because it's only an iser loisa, say it's not karis, even though it's clearly forbidden to derive benefit on Shabbos. But maybe when Shabbos is over, you do not need to read b'chdei shayasu. So he says, no, you cannot take it. You have to be machmer even when Shabbos is over. You're not allowed to eat this food that has been brought from Yichus L'Tchum, even though it's only Nisr Laf. You have to wait b'chdei shayasu. V'davka l'b'achila osir. It's osir to eat. But avumutu l'taltal b'sichar ba'amos, you're allowed to move it around b'soich arba amos. You're allowed to move it around. I think it means b'soich Shabbos. It's not muksa, but only mutter, only l'taltal b'soich. Is this on Shabbos itself or after Shabbos? I don't know. I'm not sure what he means over here. I think on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, you're allowed to move it. If a non-Jew brings something for you outside the tchum, you're allowed to move it around more within dalid amos, and your whole body is considered to be one big dalid amos, like the mail. If the mail comes, that's another story. We have to discuss it in much more detail. But if the mail arrives, I get a package, a UPS package or a FedEx package that has come michutz l'tchum. You know, it's michutz l'tchum. It was overnight delivery. Let's say someone says something. You know, if it's not overnight delivery, you don't really know. It's a suffix. But let's say you know for a fact that this has come michutz l'tchum. Okay, michutz l'tchum. So then, well, that's okay. You have to really figure out the cases. So it's not necessarily muksa. It depends. Sometimes it is muksa. It's not muksa. Different opinions. If it's muksa, not muksa. But he seems to say over here that if it's that as far as coming michutz l'tchum, it's not muksa. It might be muksa for other reasons. You have no use for it. It's just no use. You have a very big box, and it serves no use whatsoever. So that might be muksa. If I can use the box to sit down upon or to use it as a paperweight. You can find reasons why things that arrive in the mail are not muksa. But there's another issue. Maybe it should be muksa just for the fact that it's come outside the tchum. Forget about the question of it being muksa, what its use is. It came outside the tchum. No, that's not muksa. If something that's not, that's food, for example, food. You have a food that's edible, so it's you're not allowed to eat it because it only came to you through a Nechil Shabbos, but it's not muksa. You can move it around your whole house.
You can eat it after Shabbos?
After Shabbos, b'chdei shayasu. You have to wait the amount of time it took the guy to bring it from where he did. Ulacherim mutarim afilu b'achila b'Shabbos. For someone else. If the guy did this melacha for you, Not for your wife, not for your child, not for your neighbor. They can eat the food even on Shabbos itself. Why? Only true when it comes to what? When it comes to tchum. And here is where we apply the leniency. If the guy made the food, he turned on the hot water, he made the food malacha for you, not only are you not allowed to derive benefit, your next door neighbor is not allowed to derive benefit. But he didn't do it for my next door neighbor, doesn't matter. He did it for a Jew. He did it for a Jew. A malacha was done for a Jew. Another Jew may not derive benefit.
Malacha deraisa.
But if the malacha deraisa was that it was brought michutz l'tchum, here is where we apply the leniency. Since chutz l'tchum is only nisr lav, it's not nisr misa, Karis, then you can be Mekel. The Kevon, the Tchumim, Ein Elam, now he's saying over here, I really jumped the gun a little bit over here. Yeah, I will went a little bit further, but he's saying over here that the tchum, the first tchum over here is only midraban. He's relying upon the opinion. This machlekes in the Gemara is the principle of carrying, walking outside the tchum deiraisa or derabanan. There is such an opinion that says even if you go more than yud beis mil, even that's only midraban. Certainly, more than 2,000 amos is only midraban. So let's assume that's the case I'm discussing over here. He's discussing over here a case where the guy brought you something that's less than 8 miles away. If it's more than 8 miles away, indeed, that may be a deiraisa, but it's only a malchus. But let's say the tchum is only nisar, it's less than 8 miles. It's more than 2,000 amos, more but less than yud beis mil. Then it's only also midrabanan, and therefore the guy here did nisa derabanan. And the rule, they're going back to a general rule that if a non-Jew does for a Jew a melacha derabanan, Jew B is allowed to derive benefit. Okay, that itself is a very worthy principle to dwell upon this concept. Some say he has a whole new svara, not what I told you about, that's a lav, is that the concept of tchum is something which is unique to each individual. That makes it inherently weaker. You ever hear such a svara like this? When it comes to cooking, the lametes melachos, there is no difference. Every Jew is exactly the same in regard to the lametes melachos. When it comes to walking outside the tchum, every single Jew has a different tchum. The principle is the same, the concept is the same, but everyone has their own application of that concept in halacha. Maybe that's why it's only us, that's why it's totally zevizah, that's why it's only Yisr Loisa say, it's not Yisr Nisa. That weakens the power. It's a very fascinating concept. This is like a real Lomnisha. You expect such a svara, you see this, in a real Lomnisha Sefer. It's inherently weaker.
How is it different between one yid and another yid?
Wherever you live. If you live in Arizona, so your tchum is in Arizona. If I live in New York, my tchum is in New York. We don't have the same tchum. The principle is the same. But when it comes to cooking, it's all the same. There's no difference.
If you live in the city or if you live
wherever
in
you live.
Or
every Jew, wherever they live, they get 2,000 amos from their location. So everyone has a different application of that principle. But whereas it comes to the lametes and melachos, everyone's the same boat. Some hold that in general, when it comes to b'chdei shayasu, you don't have to wait altogether. At least when it comes to the principle of yoytzing chutz l'tchum, some hold there's no prohibition. Period. Some hold that in general, if a guy brings something from outside the tchum, there's no principal period of being required to wait b'chdei shayasu. Now you're going to be machmir. So the only one that has to be machmir is you yourself, the one for whom this object was brought, but not for the other person. Halacha yidchasim hevi b'shul shnayim asum lahachlif. Let's say, interesting case, the guy brings two objects. I know that you like blueberry muffins and you like chocolate chip muffins. So for you, I brought the chocolate chip muffin, and for you, I brought the blueberry muffin. So I'm not allowed to eat it because he brought outside the tchum for me, and you're not allowed to eat yours because he brought outside the tchum for you. Solution: let's switch. Today, I'll eat the chocolate chip, and you'll eat the blueberry. It'll be a good change, and it's mutter. Why? Because I didn't bring. We just finished learning that if he brought it for someone else, it's mutter. Isn't this a brilliant loophole? I brought one thing for you, one thing for you, and we just finished learning when it's nisa midrabanan, less than yud beis mil, you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to be nene from the malach if he did not do it for you. One Jew can benefit even though it was not done for, as long as it was not done for him. So we'll switch. No, the chai adam, he closes this loophole. Like he should have worked for the IRS. Close all the tax loopholes over here. No, it's a good try. No cigar. You're not going to get away with this. Why not? We find the whole halacha is always full of loopholes. Loopholes. I spoke to a tax lawyer once, and he said to me, you don't have to be machmir. The government, that's what tax lawyers are for. We're here to find you all the loopholes. There's no halacha in America. You have to pay as much tax as possible. That's what tax lawyers are for. We're here to do for you everything possible according to the law, according to the law, to find for you.
Legal. It may not be moral or ethical.
So moral. Yeah, that's getting to morals and ethics.
Right.
No, but seemingly we're not going. You're just saying there are certain ways to structure your finances in a way where you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay more tax than is necessary. Okay, ethics. Let's not go ethics. Ethics, is unethical. Maybe we're not talking. We're talking about over here just in general. There are certain things. There are certain techniques which are accepted and do not appear, at least in my not limited knowledge, to be unethical. I'm sure there are some unethical things that go on, but there are certain technically says that's what we do. That's what we do. And the government knows about this. We deal with the IRS every single day. We're in contact with them, and if they want to close this technique, then they will. They will. They allow this, and therefore we're here to help you. That's why you're paying us money in order to avoid paying these high taxes. Is it unethical? Is it immoral? I guess you have to know where the line is, and that can be a very dangerous game. Next, orchem hamisach sinim bebeisay smich malshchana guests, which you are hosting, usmich malshchana bebeisay Shabbos heim kibnei beisay v'mizimnim b'mikra bebeisay aser, and if you v'mizimnim b'mikra by chance you invited them, bebeisay aser, they're not.
What's aser?
I don't know. Archim.
No, it means if I came to Chum.
Yeah.
And
for this bias.
And yeah, I came to you, and these guys show up.
You're your guests.
You invited them after.
Are they allowed to derive benefit from it?
No.
So, the non-Jew brought this for you,
right.
And that includes your bias. He bought it for your household, and now who's my household? My guests. So if my guests are here from before Shabbos, they're forbidden, they may not derive benefit. But if they show up suddenly, let's say...
Why should it be also?
He still says, in their own home, dinam kacherim. But guests, if they're not in their... even b'mikra, he says they can't eat it in your house.
Right.
If you want to give it to them, you take it. Yeah, you take it to your house. The guy brought it for me. I'm not allowed to derive benefit, but you are. But he's saying you still can't eat it in my house. You can't eat this in my house because since right now you are under my authority, under my jurisdiction, even though it's not expected, I never expected to see you here on Shabbos, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But, at the very least, you can take it out, take it home with you, as long as there's an erev, of course, and you can eat it in your bais. Halacha chaf, sothik.
The comma should be after the mikra, then it makes more sense.
Dim zimnam
the
mikra. Zimnam the mikra by chance. Bebeisay aser al bebeisam. You're right. Very good. Good eye. Very good. Halacha chaf. Safik in bow mechutz l'tchom. You have a safik. You do not know what the situation is. Im hunach v'shashobi imav ir upeiros mitzum loy beir. If you have a reasonable, you can assume that it came mitoch atchom because he's in your city and he has peiros within the tchom. Af api sheish l'peiros gam kim mechutz l'tchom mutu. You don't ask. Don't tell. Okay. That's a very important halacha. The principle halacha. What you don't know is good for you. You ask a shayla. It's awesome. Don't ask too many questions. You just do. If it's no good, they'll let you know about it. Don't worry. They'll let you know about it. I sit in shul with my smartphone, right? I sit with my smartphone in shul there. So all of a sudden, I see on my shtender a little card that says, to read in Hasidish Yiddish, it says to remove the Kli Hashmad with a picture of someone with an axe chopping it. So obviously, I don't know if someone's trying to joke around with me, or someone's very serious, they were very offended that I was playing with my smartphone. I should bring you in this car, you get a good laugh. So if Hashem wants you to know you're doing something wrong, harbe shluchim lamokin. Don't ask, don't tell. Gam came in chosut chamutu, but avol im who noch we sheena shoy be yerhad. But let's say the noch is zalim the city. Oh yeah, I feel bevadai bom bechosut cham. Let's say he lives bevadai Bevadai he lives chusut chum rakshus shemesubik im heviu b'shuloy atzurim arim to Shabbos. If there's a reasonable assumption that came in chusut chum yafte mechayish, it's also yalpi the chol zayin rak mustavim drabanan. Oh, solim drabanan. So we already answered this yesterday. It's davar sheyesh lematidin. Asim davar sheyesh lematidin. We asim tam biyan lo kol yamo b'dimchusut chum kill mustavim liklad lenitzar like we said over there. But and when it's a suffix, you can be mekel b'tzur Shabbos right away. You dani b'chle shiast like we said before because when it comes to laws of tchumen. Tchumen is inherently more lenient, being that it's a loisa, say it's not a kachiv karas. Nachli, you know, we're out of time. Let's take a short break, because I want to spend some more time on something very important. I didn't give you one page.